This tape is being made for the Tualatin Historical Society. Today we are talking to Dr. Merle Pennington. Merle, as far as I know, was the first person from Tualatin ever to become a doctor. So Merle, you are a unique niche in Tualatin's history as his first physician. But before I get into that, we'd like to go into your history a little bit. And when did your folks first come to Tualatin?
Well, Dad bought the farm in Tualatin in 1929, and it required a lot of work, and he moved out there the tail end of that year, or the first of next year, and started cleaning up the farm and building a house.
Where was your dad born?
He was born in Miller County, Missouri, and at the age of 10 moved to Pleasant Hill, just south and east of Eugene, and grew up on a farm there, along with 11 siblings, and then went into farming on his own, and finally moved to Portland and began building houses and small commercial structures, and ran and operated a hardware store in Sunnyside in southeast Portland.
Down Sunnyside. What was your mother's name, and where was she born?
Mother's name was Ethel Stroud, Ethel May Stroud, and she too was one of 12 children. And she was born, to the best of my knowledge, in Santa Clara, California, where her parents had a cattle ranch, and then moved after she was a few years old to the Pleasant Hill area where my father also grew up.
That's where they met then, in Pleasant Hill.
Right.
When were they married?
I'm not just too sure I can tell you that. Just a second. They were married in 1902 and celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary at our house in 1952, the year before my mother died.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you came here?
I was 9 years old when we came.
Do you remember any of the neighbors?
Well, there really weren't very many neighbors. The Holbrooks lived right across from us, and that was the only house that we could actually see from our house when we moved out here. And so that was the only neighbor that I got well acquainted with. However, very shortly after that, I got acquainted with the Dickinson boys, who lived with their grandparent, Joe Byram, on the next adjacent farm toward Tualatin from us.
Did you ever know Charlie Dickinson, the old man?
I don't think I ever knew Charlie Dickinson. I don't recall him.
You know, he and his wife are the one that started Dickinson's Grape Juice, Grape Jelly Company.
Yes, I guess.
Yeah. And this is their son that lived down here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It seems to be like...
Well, okay, all right. I got mixed up on the generation. Sure. I stopped in there on my bicycle every day going to school, and the Dickinson boys and I rode together, and I usually had a roll at their breakfast table before I got to school.
It was in Nyberg's too, Mom.
Yes.
Clayton.
Right.
Yeah, they were the Nyberg kids. It seems to me like there was a family out here in this area when I was a kid that had a farm, and the fellow used to yodel all the time. Do you remember that?
I don't recall that. That could have been Chehek. Chehek was the renter on the place that we moved into for many, many years, and that's possible that he might have been. They were either Polish or Bulgarian, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any children?
Yes, we have three children. They're the oldest is a girl, the second oldest is a boy, and then the youngest is a girl. And we have six grandchildren.
Six grandchildren. Do any of them live in this area?
Yes. Gay is our oldest child, and she has a 12-year-old daughter who lives about a mile from us. And Jan is a dentist in Corvallis, and she's has the two boys. Mm-hmm. And then Paul is a physician in Goldendale, Washington, and he has three children.
Well, you're lucky to have them so close.
Yeah.
Really.
They're all close enough.
Mm-hmm.
We can see them very often.
Do you recall any, there was no kids out here for you to play with much then?
No, the Byram or the Dickinson kids were the only ones that were close, and mm-hmm. and they were a good half mile away. So we did that and the Lafkeys, which was about the next farm down from Dickinson's, and Byram, Joe Byram's place. And we, the four of us, ran around some together on bikes.
Do you remember the first car in the family, what kind it was, or anything about it?
I don't recall exactly. I know that the first one that I really remember was an old Oldsmobile, and it had vases for flowers between the two doors on each side, which we put a fresh flower in every Sunday when we went to church.
Did it have Isinglass curtains or
no? It had real glass. It was real glass. It was a pretty late model, actually. I think it was probably new at that time, and it was probably a fairly recent car.
You had radios in when you first came out here.
Yeah, I think we had a radio. We didn't have a refrigerator for a good many years. Certainly no television, and we didn't have electricity in the barn until I was at least 15 or 16 years old when we first wired the barn for electricity.
Why did you raise on the farm primarily? Was it a cattle ranch or grain?
It was a general farm ranch, we had cattle and hogs and sheep, and raised hay and grain, and then gradually my father began putting in more and more orchard, and he finally ended up with a lot of filberts, walnuts, peaches, and prunes, and for 25 years he supplied peaches to an awful lot of families in the Tualatin and Wilsonville area.
I must have knew your dad when he first came here, because I remember in the late 20s and the early 30s in the Grange.
Mm-hmm. Right. My folks were very interested in the Grange. My dad had a lot to do with the construction of it. Actually felled the timbers, the logs, and peeled them. And they cut the tubifores out of timber that was on our place in a local rough sawmill. The post and beam construction of that two-story Grange Hall will last almost forever.
Yeah, when I was in the Grange, I used to meet in the old gymnasium down at school.
Mm-hmm, right.
Is there any other particular thing you remember about your childhood, that pleasant or unpleasant?
Two things that I can recall quite vividly. One, before I owned a bicycle, I was being rude. I was riding on the frame of another kid's bicycle, and I allowed my heel to get into the spokes. We went tail end over tea kettle, neither one of us sustaining any serious damage, but it certainly hurt our pride. The other was peddling watermelons, and Herb Lafke and I did most of that together on our bikes on Saturdays in the fall, and we sold our watermelons for a nickel apiece. They weren't tremendously big watermelons, but they were good, and we made a fortune.
Fortune in those days.
Right.
One thing I was always curious about your dad when I knew him, he was very active. He lived a day, they called him a shaker and maker, because he was so active and everything. And I was just wondering, you alluded to his building homes, did he have any other interests besides a farm or any profession? Or
no, his interest was his job in life was as a farmer and a builder, and starting at about age 60, he built probably at least one house every year, and so that an awful lot of people in the Tualatin area live in houses that he has had a lot to do with their construction in. He was very interested in the Grange, very interested in the Tualatin Church, the community church, which was primarily a Methodist church, and we attended there for years. My mother was a Grange master for a number of years, and along with my parents, I was interested in the Grange for at least a time. Grew up with the Nybergs, and they usually helped along with the Sagerts and the Ibex and the Lafkes in harvesting our hay and grain, and we helped in harvesting their hay grain and also the first job I ever had for money was weeding onions in Nyberg's onion swamp. It was the hardest work I ever did in my life for 10 cents an hour.
Do you remember any of your teachers in school, or any of them outstanding?
Well, I don't have a very good memory. Never did, and it's getting worse as time goes on. No, I don't recall any of them specifically. I remember my first grade teacher, but that was not in this area, and I think that almost everybody remembers their first grade teacher, so no, I don't recall. Oh, yes, I do. I remember once one teacher we had, I can't recall who that was, but had a bad habit of slapping your hands with a ruler, and we went through a good deal of that over the course of two or three years. The classes 3 years were in one school, or three classes were in one building, one school.
Was it Emily Joint?
I don't remember the name.
Must have been third, fourth, and fifth grades?
It could have been. Could have been. Yeah.
That's I had her. That's the way she operated.
Is that right? Well, I don't recall who it was now.
Did you graduate from Tualatin High School?
No. I graduated from Tualatin Grade School and then went the first 2 years to Tualatin High School. After that, I went 1 year to Franklin in Portland, and then at that time, our area went into the Sherwood School District, and that was their first year in which I graduated the first year.
What was that, 1940?
1937. Yeah. Yes, correct.
When you were in school, did you participate in any of the athletic activities?
Sandlot, baseball, football, soccer. I was never very good at any of them, but the kids who were good let me play anyway, and so we got along fine. They had to have somebody to make out the crew.
I'd like to ask you a personal question. When were you married?
We were married in March of 1944.
Here or?
In Portland.
In Portland.
Yeah. Graduate of the nursing school at St. Vincent's Hospital, and I was in my last year of medical school at that time.
Was it your choice to go into medicine, or did your folks persuade you into doing it?
My folks always said that I could do anything I wanted to do, and they'd be happy with it as long as it was honest and stayed out of jail. No, it was my decision to go to medical school. I had been interested in chemistry and thought that I would probably become a chemical engineer, but in that particular time, it was hard times on engineering of any kind, and there weren't hardly any jobs available, and it looked as though maybe some deviation from that would be warranted, and so I made this choice to go into medicine.
Where did you take your training, here in Portland, or
some? Reed College for 3 years, and then went to the medical school for their 4-year course.
Mm-hmm. What year did you graduate from medical school?
1944.
1944.
Yeah, September of 1944.
Where was your first practice? Was you an intern in the hospital, or?
I interned and had a residency at San Bernardino County Hospital in San Bernardino, California, and then got out of the, went into the Army. Was there about 2 years, and got out in December of 1947. And open an office in Sherwood in February of 1948.
So most of your general practice has been in Sherwood then?
All of my general practice, or the first 24 years of it anyway, was in Sherwood in a small office there with some partners. After that, I went to the Navajo tribe, took a job to put together a family practice clinic for them in Shiprock, New Mexico, and spent 3 years doing that. After the 3 years, came back to Portland and was volunteering at the medical school in the family practice department when they needed somebody to do their clinical work, and I took over that job and spent the next 8 years training residents in family practice.
You acted as a teacher then?
Yes, as a teacher, correct. Since my retirement in 1985, I have been volunteering up there one day a week. Still.
You still go up there to medical school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was there any particular highlight in your career that you'd like to remember, or any you'd like to forget?
Probably a number I'd like to forget, but no. Well, and loved every minute of it. Almost every minute of it.
There's one thing I want to ask you. These tapes are going to the Tualatin Historical Society. They'll probably find some place to store them as reference tapes. Now, if in the future, if anybody should, I don't know if this will happen or not, want to write any history of Tualatin or any, refer to any remarks that are made in these tapes, do we have your permission to use it if this could happen? I don't know if it will or not, but...
Yes, I'm sure there's nothing here that I would delete if I had the opportunity to do so. So, yes, it may be used for historical purposes.
How many babies do you think you've delivered in your during your practice?
Well, I did a general practice for many years, and I kept track of them until I reached 1,000. At that point, I... no longer kept track of them, so I really don't know, but that was coming close to the end of my career in delivering babies, but about 1,000, a little over 1,000.
After 1,000, they all look alike.
They all look pretty much alike, right?
Do you have any particular hobbies besides working in your yard?
That's the biggest one. Another hobby that I can say that I really enjoy is teaching residents at the medical school, which I do on a volunteer basis. I'm active on the hospital board. Unfortunately, Meridian Park didn't get started until I had stopped practicing in Sherwood, and so it would have been very convenient, but I never did get a chance to use it.
Did you ever do any surgery?
Oh, I did a lot of surgery, yes. In those days, general practitioners, if they had some training and supervision, could do a lot of surgery, and I did.
Did you enjoy that aspect?
Oh, yeah, sure. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I'm glad not to be doing it now, though. It's a different climate now.
Must be a different world out there now with all the insurance and everything required and the liabilities involved. When you were in the Indian Reservation practicing, did you ever have any experience with the local medicine men?
We, when I went to work for the Navajo tribe, among other things, we built, or had built for us, a clinic building. And we had the clinic building treated and dedicated by one of the local medicine men. Very frequently, the medicine men were treating the patient's psyche and general overall health at the same time that we were doing specific procedures and getting the individual well from whatever else other type of disease they had. Yes, there was a very close relationship between the doctor, the white doctor, and the Indian medicine man.
Are these medicine men trained anyway, or they just take it up on their own?
They have a system whereby they're taught by their elders. Primarily, it's handed down from one generation to another within the family line. And yes, they learn a lot about the psychology of how people function and about some other activities. But primarily, they deal with the problems of the mind that are a big part of whatever is ailing one at the time.
How do some of their practices compare? Did any of the modern medicine people accept their practices, or?
Well, I think you'd have trouble with it because you don't have a big enough following of believers. Actually, the treatment is often a matter of having a dance or a ceremony. In which case you have to have several fat sheep killed and cooked, so that all the neighbors who are participating will have enough to eat for a couple of days. It doesn't work very well in Western civilization because you'd have to take out too much time from your daily routine in order to make it work.
Do they ever use your herbs or plants?
They do some, yes. Although that is kind of going out of style now. They use peyote, a mushroom that causes the mind to deviate the normal track, and this is often used as a cleansing ceremony as part of their religious practices.
Was it to make them forget their problems?
Oh, it sure does. Right. Yeah.
Was there much drinking involved among the Indians when you were there?
Lots of drinking, and a lot of self-destructive behavior of various kinds, including suicides. There was seemingly a very poor belief in the value of life among the Navajos.
May I ask you, Mrs. Pennington, a personal question? What was your maiden name?
Drake.
Drake? Whereabouts were you born?
In Idaho Falls.
Idaho Falls, mm-hmm. You never went to school in the Tualatin area?
Right, I never did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Merle, I want to thank you for your time and your cooperation in this. I'm sure it would be quite valuable to our collection. And I'll let you go now back and finish your lawn work.
Okay. Thank you. Really good idea. This is a tremendously good idea to get some stuff on tapes while people are still able to remember what they did.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is a biography of Merle Westwood Pennington, compiled by Dr. Pennington and his wife. He was born 1876, 100 years after the Declaration of Independence. He died in 1966, 90 years old. He was born and lived in Missouri till he was 10 years old when they moved to Pleasant Hill, Oregon. He was the oldest child of 12 siblings. He met his wife, Ethel Stroud, and they were married for 50 years. He moved to Eugene. He had 5 children. 2 boys died in infancy. Daughter died at the age of 21 of pneumonia. This was pre-antibiotics time. The second daughter died at 40 years old. Son, Dr. Merle Pennington, is still alive and kicking. He moved to Southeast Portland, was a carpenter, built commercial and residential properties, also owned and operated the Sunnyside Hardware Store. He bought 60 acres in Tualatin with a dilapidated farmhouse, 13 doors leading to the kitchen, and 2 tumble-down barns. A corrugated wooden road ran through the front yard. The remains of the original Boone's Ferry Road. Drilled a well to replace the shallow well and build up the cropland. Cut down a large, neglected orchard and cleared 30 acres of old-growth timber. Built a new home and planted orchards, filberts, walnuts, prunes, and peach trees. For 25 years, the surrounding area relied on Pennington peaches. This area is now part of the Taggart School District and will be the new high school site. At that time, it was all tree spraying was done with a hand pump, no power spraying. He belonged to the Winona Grange and had passed through all his degrees. His wife was a master of the Grange for some time. He was very active in building the Grange Hall. During the Depression years, there was not much money available for expansion, so they felled the fir trees, peeled them, and used them for post-beam construction for the two-story Grange Hall. Around age 60, he started building approximately one house per year, many still in use in the Tualatin area. He assisted in raising the roof of the old Tualatin school to convert it into the first apartment building in Tualatin. Once settled in the area, he was a staunch supporter of the community church. During the big flood, he rode to Tualatin General Store in a rowboat down Boone's Ferry Road. He loved trees and did a lot of grafting for himself as well as the neighbors. He celebrated his 50th wedding anniversary in 1952. His wife died the next year. He refused to be an invalid, plowed with a horse, and raised cattle. He did heavy construction well until his 80s. He sold his farm and built a small home next to his son, Dr. Merle Pennington. He survived a coronary for 20 years and died at age of 90 from a stroke. He is survived by one son, 3 grandchildren, and 6 great-grandchildren.